إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds wherever Allah guides there is none that can lead Him astray and whoever is led astray then there is no guide for Him I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah He is alone and has no partners and I bear witness that Muhammad is the slave and His messenger O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement, amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Today in fiqh, we're still with the book of our Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, Ad-Durur al-Bahiyya, with the proof and a brief explanation with Al-Adillat al-Radiyya by Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq. Today we're with Bab al-Adhani wal-Iqama, the chapter of the Adhan and the Iqama. And the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, يُشْرَعُ لِأَهْلِ كُلِّ بَلَدٍ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا مُؤَذِّنًا ينادي بألفاظ الأذان المشروع عند دخول وقت الصلاة ويشرع للسامع أن يتابع المؤذن ثم تشرع الإقامة على الصفة الواردة إمام الشوكاني رحمه الله says it has been prescribed for the people of every area to have a muadhin, and that he calls the adhan with the wording that has been prescribed. At the time that the salat comes in, and it is prescribed for the one who is listening to the adhan to follow the muadhin, then it is prescribed that the iqama is made the way it's been narrated in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says in this bab of the adhan and the iqama, and that it is prescribed for every area or every city to have a muadhin. And this is from the hadith of Abu Dawood rahimahullah, and At-Tirmidhi and Al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, Ashabu Sunan, عن عثمان بن أبي العاص قال يا رسول الله اجعلني إمام قومي قال أنت إمامهم واقضي بأضعفهم واتخذ مؤذنا لا يأخذ على آذانه أجرا. And this hadith is authentic, where عثمان بن أبي العاص رضي الله عنه, he said, O Messenger of Allah, make me the imam of my people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are the imam of your people. So lead them or act in accordance to the weakest amongst them. And take a mu'adhin that won't charge anything for his adhan. So we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every area must have a mu'adhin in that area, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded Uthman ibn Abi al-As, who was the imam of his people, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him the imam, that he take a mu'adhin so that they call to the salah and that they establish the salah. We also see though from this hadith that Uthman ibn Abi al-As sought after being the imam. And this, as some of the people of knowledge say, that if a person is seeking leadership position in the deen, then it's okay and rather even recommended, as opposed to seeking leadership in the affairs of the dunya where it's discouraged. Of course, the condition is going to be that whoever is seeking leadership position in this deen, that he's going to be knowledgeable, meaning of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the understanding and the statements of the ulama of Islam. So this is evidence that shows that it's prescribed for every area to have a mu'adhin. And then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that the mu'adhin must make the adhan by the wording that has been prescribed, as in, for example, the hadith of Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Zaydin radiallahu anhu, qala lamma amara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin naqusi ya'malu liyadriba bihi linnasi lijam'i salati tafa bi wa ana na'imun rajulun yahmilu naqusan fi yadihi. فقلت يا عبد الله أتبيع الناقوس قال وما تصنع به فقلت ندعو به إلى الصلاة قال أفلا أدلك على ما هو خير من ذلك فقلت له بلى قال فقال تقول الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله قال ثم استأخر عني غير بعيد ثم قال وتقول إذا أقمت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله فلما أصبحت أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبرته بما رأيت فقال إنها لرؤيا حق إن شاء الله فقم مع بلال فألقي عليه ما رأيت فليؤذن به فإنه أندى صوتا منك فقمت مع بلال فجعلت ألقيه عليه ويؤذن به قال فسمع ذلك عمر بن الخطاب وهو في بيته فخرج يجر رداءه ويقول والذي بعثك بالحق يا رسول الله لقد رأيت مثل ما رأى فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلله الحمد. And this hadith is authentic, where Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he said that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that
someone used the bell to ring it to let the people know of the congregation of the Salat. Someone came by to visit me when I was asleep. And it was a man who was carrying a bell. And he's narrating the dream that he saw. And the man was carrying a bell in his hand. So I said, "O servant of Allah, are you selling that bell?" He said, "And what are you going to do with it?" He said, "I'm going to call the people to the salah." So he said, "Shouldn't I show you something that is better than that?" So he said, "Of course." So he said, "Say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya ala al-salah, Hayya ala al-salah, Hayya ala al-falah, حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله." Then he backed up a little bit, or he waited a little while, and he said, "Then to say for the iqama, or when the salat is actually going to be established, الله أكبر الله أكبر, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, Qad qamat al-salah, Qad qamat al-salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah." So when I woke up, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I informed him of what I saw. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Indeed, that dream is a true dream, insha'Allah. So go teach Bilal that adhan that you saw, so that he can make the adhan, because his voice is more fuller and louder than yours is." So I went and I taught Bilal. I went to Bilal and I taught him the adhan, so that he can make the adhan, and he made it. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu heard it while he was in his house, and he came running out, and his clothes was dragging off himself, and he said, "I swear by the one who sent you with the truth, Ya Rasulullah, that indeed I saw the exact same thing that he saw." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Walillahi alhamd," and all the praises to Allah. So this is the dream of Abdullah ibn Zaydin radiallahu anhu, and this is the confirmation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the adhan, and this is the adhan and the iqama of the Muslims. And this is what the ulama say when they say the sunnah is the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his affirmations. This is one of his affirmations, meaning they brought something to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he confirmed that that thing was okay. And this is also from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this is the adhan and the iqama of the Muslims. I wanted to make a note that on this pronunciation, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, if someone said Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that all of this is okay when they're reading the Arabic. And this is the same thing if someone is saying قَدَ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدَ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ, if they're going to read it together, قَدَ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدَ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. Also with the statement Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and that if someone's going to connect both of them, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and that this is the connecting, and this is what is proper. And some of the mistakes that are common here, and I've mentioned to the brothers, and I'm going to mention it again, and we're going to make it that the brothers listen to this tape, inshallah, in order to get it down, that one of the common mistakes is Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But it's Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So even if somebody is raising his voice and extending a little bit, Allahu Akbar, it's still going to be cut short, however you look at it. And that the people can't say Allahu Akbar. And Akbar is another Arabic word, I forgot what it means, or something. Yeah. The brother is saying, Imam Ahmed, that it means like it's to be proud. And I heard some people say some other things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it's not Allahu Akbar. And that bar has to be cut short just like it's supposed to be. And this is one of the mistakes that we hear some of the muezzins saying. Another one of the common mistakes is that they say ashadu, ashadu, instead of ashhadu, ashhadu, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And this was the other point. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la and ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Both of those ways are correct. But this ashhadu, it's ashhadu. Ashhadu. And this is the proper pronunciation. Another one of the mistakes is ashhadu anna Muhammadan. Muhammadan. What is correct is Muhammadan. Muhammadan. And not Muhammadan. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan. Rasulullah. Rasulullah. We hear some of the brothers saying Rasulullah. And Rasulillah. Rasulillah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulillah. And some of the brothers said ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. But it's ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Rasulullah. I think that was it. No, the other one is hayyu ala salah, instead of hayya ala salah. Hayya ala salah, and not hayyu ala salah. Also, we hear this other mistake, hayya ala al falah, instead of hayya ala al falah. This word falah means an open field. Come to the open field, instead of falah, which means come to success. And they're two different words, and the people should try to do their best to pronounce the word properly if they're going to call the adhan. These are some of the corrections that myself I remember hearing in the adhan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. However, the ulama, and we have to make this point, that the ulama said that everybody's adhan is correct, even if he has these mistakes. So long as he's trying to make the adhan to the best of his ability, that his adhan is, inshallah ta'ala, acceptable. And you don't have to make another adhan or another iqamah for the salah. But what is more proper and better is that the people who are the muezzins are those who have the more proper pronunciation for the adhan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I hope that Allah makes it easy for us to help one another in order to learn the adhan properly, as this is one of the biggest signs of this deen of Al-Islam, is the adhan. And that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never left the adhan traveling or while he was present, that he always established the adhan and the iqamah for the salah since this time that the adhan was prescribed for the believers. And maybe some of the brothers, inshallah, because maybe my advice hasn't been working for some of the brothers, I tried to sit with them and help them. And maybe some of the other brothers, when they listen to some of the adhans and some of the iqamas, maybe they want to pull the brother to the side and try to work with him on his pronunciation, or maybe encourage him to sit with me again. And we can try to work on our pronunciation. And nobody should feel offended as if somebody's trying to attack him or something like that. But we have to learn this deen. We have to learn it properly. Is anybody happy with doing something wrong all the time and nobody says anything to him? It's like somebody has on his back, "I'm stupid." And every time somebody looks at it, nobody says anything. Or somebody put on his jacket, "I'm a kafir," and he's a Muslim, and he's standing in the masjid, and nobody tells him. And everybody's looking at him laughing. So really we have to, if we see that there's some deficiencies, we have to help one another. And the people need to be as gentle as they could when they approach the people. And the people too have to give in a little and to accept some of the advice when it comes to getting it together. Because if we don't get it together, then I fear that it's going to take place something that I saw on one of the films, where the Ansar al-Shayateen were making fun of the people of the Sunnah. What they did was they took some Arabs who were speaking Arabic, and they were talking about some of the, or against some of the African American Muslims. But they were smiling, "How are you doing, brother?" And then they were saying something, "أَرَأَيْتَ هَذَا الْجَاهِلَ لَا يَعْرِفُ مَاذَا نَقُولُ وَنَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ وَنَضْحَكُ عَلَيْهِ فَلَا يَعْرِفُ مَا نَقُولُ لَهُ." And then the brother is just smiling like that. And he was making fun. The Ansar al-Shayateen was just making fun to show that the people who say that they're on the truth, this is the way they act with one another, in order to make his falsehood appear to be a little stronger. His falsehood is falsehood. And Abu Amin Bilal Phillips, alhamdulillah, exposed him. And this part on us is wrong, that we make fun of one another after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited that. But the point is that, is anyone happy that somebody's making fun of him and he doesn't even know it? And this could be on the issue of the adhan, where the people can say, "Man, they just can't get it down. Guess they always will be ignorant, or they always will be wrong, or they always will be off," or what have you. And we need to work with one another so that inshallah we can get it down, just like everybody else can get it down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, then he says that this adhan with these prescribed wording from the hadith, and there are other hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallam, and where this isn't the time to discuss all of the different narrations, but to show that which is authentic. He said that this adhan is called at the time that the salat comes in, and this is of course for every salat, except that there is an added adhan before the adhan of Fajr, making it 6 adhans instead of 5 adhans for the 5 salat. And we can see this in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim with authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يمنع عنا أحدكم أو أحدا منكم أذان بلال من سحوره فإنه يؤذن أو ينادي بليل ليرجع قائمكم ولينبه نائمكم. And this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Don't let the adhan of Bilal prevent any one of you or anyone from eating his suhoor. Or, and that's the suhoor, is the breakfast that you eat before you begin your fast. Don't let the adhan of Bilal radiallahu anhu prevent anyone from amongst you from eating his suhoor. Because indeed he caused the adhan at night time in order to stop the people who are making salat from making salat, in order to wake up the people who are asleep. So here in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he makes it clear that there is also another adhan for Fajr, and that this adhan is before the time of Fajr, in order to let the people know who are making tahajjud, okay, Fajr is around the corner, make your witr, finish up your dhikr and your salah and your dua, and then to get ready for Salatul Fajr or to eat your suhoor, because the time of Fajr is near. And this is the exception that Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he didn't mention, as he says it's for the times of entering the salah, and this is in all cases except for the case of the van before the Salatul Fajr.
The Shaykh,
he also brings the explainer, Muhammad Subhi Hassan Al-Hallah. He brings another point that this tafweeb and the Adhan Al-Fajr is for the first Adhan and not the Adhan for the Salatul Fajr. And this is the statement, As-Salatu Khayrun Minan Nawm, that this is in the first Adhan of Fajr before the time of Fajr. But in the Adhan for Salatul Fajr is just like the other Adhans, meaning the five Adhans at the time that the Salat comes in, for all of the five Salat, all of those Adhans are the same. Then the sixth Adhan, which is the Adhan before Salatul Fajr comes in, it has the statement As-Salatu Khayrun Minan Nawm, as we see from this hadith here collected by Imam Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah in the Sunan Al-Kubra and Al-Tahawi in the Sharh Ma'ani Al-Athar, and it is authentic, as Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar declares, and this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. قال كان في الأذان الأول بعد الفلاح الصلاة خير من النوم مرتين. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that in the first Adhan after the al-falah, min al-hayya ala al-falah, is the statement as-salatu khayrun min al-nawm two times. And this statement as-salatu khayrun min al-nawm, it means sleep. Salah is better than sleep. Salah is better than sleep. And then in the narration of Abu Dawood on the authority of Abi Mahdura, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة خير من النوم الصلاة خير من النوم في الأولى من الصبح. And this narration is authentic, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says الصلاة خير من النوم الصلاة خير من النوم is in the first one of Fajr, meaning in the first Adhan of Salatul Fajr, and this narration is authentic. This point here, the question comes now after what we've heard from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah وسلم, and the narration of his companion Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. When we are mihaj and umrah, we hear them and the first Adhan don't say As-Salatu Khayrun Min Al-Nawm, and in the Adhan of Fajr they say As-Salatu Khayrun Min Al-Nawm. Are you saying that you know more than the people of Mecca and Medina, and Islam has been there from the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasahbihi Wasallam? No, we're not saying that we know more than the people of Mecca and Medina, or that we know more than the scholars of Islam, or that we think we're better than them and that they don't know and we know. What we know is that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala commands us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-rasul wa ulil amri minkum, fa in tanaza'tum fi shay'in farudduhu ila Allah wal rasul, in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawm al-akhir, dhalika khayrun wa ahsan ta'wila. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst you. Meaning those leaders and those scholars or people of knowledge from amongst you, from amongst the Muslims. And if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah, meaning the Book of Allah, the Quran, and back to the Messenger, to him directly during his life, and to that which has been authentically reported on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his death. If you believe in Allah and the last day, that is better as a final decision. We see here in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, he explains it's in the first one of Fajr. And As-Subh is Salatul Fajr. And we also see in the same thing in the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that this statement As-Salatu Khayrun Min An-Nawm is in the first Adhan of Fajr before the time of the Salat comes in. And this is what we've been commanded to do. If there's any difference, to follow the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And some of the ulama, they give a statement on top of this from reasoning, even though this deen is not based on reasoning, in order to help convince the other people that this is most correct. And that's the statement, why would you say after the people already woke up, Salat is better than sleep? And while the people are sleeping, you don't remind them that salah is better than sleep. And this statement of reasoning shows where the place should be. If the people are sleeping, should you wait until they wake up and say salah is better than sleeping, or should you say it while they're sleeping? And it seems clear from this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If we were asked, well, what is the evidence that makes the people say that in the adhan of Fajr that you say as-salatu khayru min an-nawm? Because in one of the narrations it says the statement as-salatu khayru min an-nawm is for the adhan of Fajr. Like that, for the adhan of Fajr. But it didn't specify the first adhan or the second. So if we were to be asked after that, as we asked them, okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, for the adhan al-fajr, say as-salatu khayru min an-nawm. Okay, which adhan? As we know that there's two adhan al-fajr, as we saw from the hadith of Bilal, that he calls the adhan in the night time, and probably many of us read in the book of fasting, that Ibn Ummi Maktoum, that he used to recite the adhan at the time that it comes in, so make sure that you don't eat after his adhan, and to show that there's two adhans for Fajr, which one was meant by the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, make the statement of Salatu Khayru Min An-Nawm and Salatu Fajr, other than the first adhan, as we see from these other narrations of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and his companions, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala knows best.
There seems to be a distinction between the two types. The two adhans, in terms of...
There's two distinctions between the adhan, these two adhans of Fajr. Okay, in the hadith of Bilal and Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhuma, the distinction of this is that in Bilal's adhan, that for those people fasting, that when they hear his adhan, Fajr isn't in, you can continue eating. So the verdict of that first adhan is that it is permissible to continue eating, and it is not permissible to make the Salatul Fajr. For the second adhan of Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, that it is permissible to establish the Salatul Fajr after his adhan, and it is haram to eat food after that for those who are fasting. So the distinction between the two adhans is that one of them makes the first one makes the suhoor permissible and the salat haram. And the second adhan makes the suhoor haram and the salat permissible. So those are a distinction in that. And then there's distinction in the statement of salatu khayrun min an-nawm being in the first one as opposed to the second one. Yes. Yeah. Then you know. Or as the people who unfortunately got accustomed to the opposite. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Yes. How much space is between the two adhan al-fajr? It doesn't come to my mind any of the narrations. I don't know if anybody remember. The brothers mentioning in some narrations 50 ayat. For sure, some of the ulama interpret that to be around 20 minutes, some of them a half hour, maybe a little longer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If we come by the time of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, I'll try to take some time out to review this issue of how much is between it, inshallah ta'ala, maybe to bring those narrations. Is the adhan only for the month of Ramadan? No, I don't know it to be only for the month of Ramadan, but it's for the whole year, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. one point that really I wanted to stand out on this point, and this is the point that we don't think we know more than the people of Mecca and Medina. And we don't think that we know more than the scholars of Islam. And that nobody's claiming that he knows everything, or that he's better than everybody, or that he picked up something that somebody else didn't pick up, or whatever. But that we have to listen to what is being said and to follow what we see to be most authentic. And it's not an issue of me as I'm the one presenting information, but it's the issue of listening to what the ulama say, as I'm only presenting what the ulama say. And it's the scholars of Islam who have differed in this issue, and it's the scholars of Islam who have presented to us what seems to be most weightiest and most correct, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues by saying, and it's prescribed for the one listening to follow the muazzin. And what is meant by following the muadhin is to repeat this adhan that the muadhin says. When he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, then everyone is going to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the muadhin, when he makes the adhan is supposed to be a little slower. And not Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, fast like that. The adhan is not supposed to be like that. The adhan is slow, making each statement and waiting, and then making the next statement, and the people are repeating after him, and he's giving the people time to make the wudu and to come to the masjid for the salah. And we see this point of following the muadhin in the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumallah, on the authority of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا سمعتم النداء فقولوا مثل ما يقول المؤذن. For the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, if you hear the nida, and the nida and the adhan are two different Arabic words, and they mean the same thing that we call the adhan. When you hear the adhan, then say exactly what the muadhin says. And this means for every statement except the statement Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, that you don't say those statements with the muadhin, but that you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Messenger of Allah, he explained that it's going to be different on these phrases as opposed to the other ones. And this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari and others, and this narration is from Imam al-Nasai rahimahullah, an Alqama Ibn Abi Qas قال إني عند معاوية إذا أذن مؤذنه فقال معاوية كما قال المؤذن حتى إذا قال حي على الصلاة قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فلما قال حي على الفلاح قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وقال بعد ذلك ما قال المؤذن ثم قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول مثل ذلك. Here Alqama rahimahullah, he said that I was with Muawiyah, and this is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the Khalifa of the Muslims and the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhu, that when his muadhin used to call the adhan, that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he used to say what the muadhin used to say until he got to the statement Hayya ala salah, then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu would say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and that means there is no power or might except by Allah. And then when he comes to the statement Hayya ala al-falah, that he would say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and then he would say what the muadhin said after that. And then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ma said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do exactly the same thing, or to say exactly the same thing. So we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah on the part Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala al-falah. Then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, then the iqamah is to be made on the wording that is narrated, and referring to, for example, the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, qala umira bilalun an yashfa' al-adhana wa an yutira al-iqamata illa al-iqamah. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that Bilal radiallahu anhu was commanded to make the adhan doubled up and to make the iqama singular except for the iqama. And here what Anas radiallahu anhu is referring to double up is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And to double up. And on the iqama, to say it only one time, meaning Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, once. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, once. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, once. Except for the iqama, meaning qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Don't make this phrase only one time, because every phrase in the iqama is going to be one time, except this, where you're going to do it twice. قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. So this is the explanation of what Imam Ash-Shawkani had brought, and our Shaykh Muhammad Hassan, Muhammad Subhi Hassan Al-Hallaq, he brought one other point to add to this chapter of Imam Ash-Shawkani, and this is the hadith of Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قال حين يسمع النداء اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمدا الوصيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدت حلت له شفاعتي يوم القيامة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith of Al-Bukhari on Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says, whoever says when he hears the adhan will have my intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Prophet tells him the statement is, O Allah, Lord of this perfect call, and the salah being established, give Muhammad al-wasila and al-fadila. And I forgot the meaning of those two words in this hadith. And maybe next week we'll bring it, inshallah, along with what we left out last week, that I found the meaning of that sentence that I said that I forgot the meaning of. When I looked back, I found one of it. And we'll bring that, inshallah, next week. And give him the maqam al-mahmud, or the highest station, or the praiseworthy station that you have promised him. So this is one of the du'as to say after the adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammah was-salati al-qa'imah ati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta. This is the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani and the explanation and the statement, the chapter, the adhan and the iqama. It is prescribed for every area or every city to have a muadhin to make the adhan with the prescribed wording at the time that the salat comes in. And it's prescribed for the person listening to the adhan to follow the muadhin. And it's prescribed to make the iqama the way it's been narrated. This is what we wanted to present today, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any questions related to the adhan and the iqama. Yes. This statement that after the iqama,
The people say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, is this from the Sunnah? No, I personally haven't come across this being from the Sunnah. And if I remember correctly, I thought that I had asked this question before to one of the ulama, and they said they didn't know that this was from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is authentic hadith reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with something to say after the iqamah. It's authentic, I memorized it before, and it escapes my mind right now. And the book I had that collected all of these authentic narrations on the adhan, when my library was moved here to the masjid, somehow the book got misplaced. And now it's going to take me some time to go through some books in order to pull out some of these narrations. But I'll find it, inshallah ta'ala. There is something that has not been authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ after the iqamah, and this is aqamaha wa adamaha or something like that. This statement has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah, but there is something that has been authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ after the iqamah. However, it's not mentioned in the more widely written books on dhikr and dua. And because of it, not many people are aware of it. And even myself, I was surprised when I had come across it in my reading that I never heard anybody ever mention it. But the hadith was authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ. And inshallah, if we find it in our adhan class or the class especially for the muezzins that should be starting next week, inshallah, we'll try to bring this narration, inshallah. For the adhan?
Yes.
Yeah. The Imam is saying that sometimes people say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the statement ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah in the adhan. This statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not been narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has no place. There, in some other narrations, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said that he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say ana. When he says, it says wa ana. When he says, and I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped but Allah, he says, and me too. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and me too. This has been authentically narrated, and if somebody says that wa ana, meaning and I bear witness, you know, the same thing, then this has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh had mentioned some other things, but I've never heard it myself that the people say them that have not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah. Like they make the adhan and they say, Ashhadu anna Sayyidina Muhammadan Rasulullah, and some other stuff that people say. I didn't hear us say it, so I didn't really want to bring up those things that we didn't hear. I guess we can end if.
I've been somehow to get a level up and
become. Yeah, this issue of doubling up on the iqamah, some of the messages they do it. The hadith, some people say, have been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the doubling up of the iqamah. Some of the ulama, they say, however, the hadith which are more authentic than those all say, don't double up on the adhan, on the iqamah. Also, some of the ulama say that this has been abrogated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is what the ulama have differed in because of those narrations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The majority of the narrations, without any doubt, say that it should be not be doubled up. And this is what is the Muslims are more commonly upon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There was some other... Yes?
Is there... anyone
how their dialogue talks, like you see some brothers that hang out somewhere or add melody to it. Mm. This issue of singing the adhan or stretching stuff or whatever, for surety, whoever stretches any of the words to give it to make it another word, stretching things out of its context, then this is clearly prohibited. Like we are given the example, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. As I'm not meaning that, I'm just saying it for the
thing, but that this is clearly not permissible, that someone stretch it beyond, and that a person has to know what is stretched and what isn't. Also, I heard some of the ulama speak against the people who had a beautiful, who sung the adhan. As they say, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he tells us, "Laysa minna man lam yataghanni bil Qur'an," that he is not from amongst us, from the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, those who do not beautify the Qur'an, or like, or recite the Qur'an in a beautiful type of way. And that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted this for the adhan, he would have made the same statement for the adhan. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا, and your Lord is not forgetful. And he didn't forget to tell his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say this about the adhan, like he said about the Qur'an. So they say that it has no place, this singing of the adhan or stretching things too far, that this is improper, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. Yes.
One is that you can call adhan in my house while we come to the house. Maybe try to make a practice to make it sooner in my house. The other part of the question is, if it's permissible, would it be something out of the Islam? I add it, I feel like I'm going to know in my house, wake up my family before I left.
The issue, if you're going to say a salatu khairun min an-nawm, the issue is it before the time of salatu fajr or after the time has already come in? If it's before the time has come in, then it's okay. And if not, then it's not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
If you live down the street from the masjid and you can hear the adhan, why would you make the adhan in your house?
You wouldn't. Not just there.
But I'm saying, but if you live in the vicinity of the masjid, is no such thing as an adhan in your house?
Yeah, no, I think that everybody kind of understands that if the adhan is made in the house, these are for the people who live a distance and don't hear it, and they kind of wanted their family to get used to hearing the adhan until we move closer to the masjid and establish some real community where everybody can hear the adhan. This is the way I kind of understood from the people, instead of if everybody is living around the masjid.
Even if you don't live near the masjid,
to call the adhan in your house? I don't know anything against that, and I hope that that is good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Yes. Yeah, Allah knows that. There was some, I remember some of the ulama answering some questions around the adhan clock, but they all escaped. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. There were some points I wanted to bring up, and I didn't want to take this time to just quote all of the hadith. They are a little lengthy on some of these points. That the muezzin must be trustworthy because he is the one that everyone is relying on, that he's going to tell you when the time comes in. And the Messenger of Allah sallam, an authentic hadith, shows us that the imam, that the adhan, that the muadhin must be trustworthy, because we have to trust that he's going to call the adhan at the right time and not to deceive the people by calling the adhan outside of his proper time. Also, the muadhin, if he's saying hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah, is to turn his head like that, as Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to do, and not to turn his whole body. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, but that he's just turning his head like that. And that people say in the narration, we used to follow his mouth going like that and going like that. Not that his whole body went, but it's just the head of the muezzin is going that way and that way. Also, that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to put his fingers in his ears. And I'm not, what I remember from the narrations, I don't remember that it specified what finger or whatever. We'll try to bring those narrations at a future date. But what he did is to put fingers, both fingers in both ears when he called the adhan. I think this is what we wanted to present from the issue of the adhan, and maybe in a future time we'll try to bring a little more, inshallah ta'ala, if there's no questions left, to enter the adhan.
It's trustworthiness up here on the website. It's a kind of salah. It is sufficient for the Muadhans that they would use the prayer table or should be loved or prophesied with the Quran?
Yeah. The issue, is it okay for the Muadhans to use the time chart, or do they have to know the times of the Salah? Mm-hmm. No, the Muezzins have to know the times of the Salah. That's clear, as you can't do anything before you have knowledge of that thing. How are you going to call to tell the people it's time for Salah? You don't know what time Salah is. So it's compulsory for the Muezzins to know what time the Salah is. And this issue of relying on the calendar is only to show how ignorant we are as Muslims. And how we don't even know our deen. Had so much so that even the people who are supposed to know a particular thing don't. Like the Muezzin, if all of us, we don't know nothing but the time charts, you can imagine we were born, raised in the city, we don't know nothing about. So maybe we don't know, but at least the Muezzin would know. When the Muezzin don't know, you see how bad off we are. And this is the same thing when it comes to the Imam and the recitation of the Quran. You can imagine all of us, non-Arabs, learning Arabic and all of that. You can understand, maybe we don't know the Quran properly. But even the Imam, he doesn't know how to read the Quran properly. And this is the case, unfortunately, that we had in America, or still have at some places, because of the ignorant leaders. That even the people involved in that particular thing, he doesn't even know it. Like we have the people that are speaking on economics in Islam. They don't know nothing about fiqh. How in the world, if you don't know anything about the hadith of the Messenger of Allah and the book of Allah, the Quran, and the ayat and the hadith pertaining to buying and selling and what have you, how are you going to speak about economics of the Muslims? And it's the same thing about worldly affairs. That okay, you don't have no knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, you ain't no leader, nothing. How are you speaking about worldly affairs of the Muslims? You're not well traveled, you don't know the languages of the people. And it's just amazing that how ignorant we are and we don't even realize it. You know, where before, the people who spoke on the world issues, because they traveled. Like some of the ulama, they have people from every country that visit them. Like our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, has the people from America, they visit him and they speak and they tell about what Islam like in America and what are the scholars and the people of knowledge and how the people practice Islam. The people from Britain, France, Belgium, Sweden, the Muslims from the different African countries, whether it's Ghana or Nigeria or Sierra Leone, a few Muslims there, and Senegal and Gambia and Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, and then even in Asia, Malaysia and Indonesia, and that you have all of these people, even from Australia, visiting the Sheikh. And then they ask the Sheikh questions. Yeah, Sheikh, we are from Japan. We hear that you're the Sheikh of Islam in the world. We come to tell you this is what it's like in our country, and here are our questions. These people are worldly enough to speak about the affairs of the Muslims. We have some people, astaghfirullah al-azim, almost never been out of the north area. He gonna speak about the affairs of the Muslims, and thinks because his tongue is sweet and he has a little articulation that he has a right to talk about, yeah, the Muslims. You've never been to Mecca or Al-Medina, to the land where Islam started. How are you going to sit and speak on the affairs of the Muslims, and people sitting around listening to you? Go ahead, brother. Preach. Listening and following that stuff. This is only in America, unfortunately, where the ignorance has become widespread, and you have the people even in the field that they're involved in, they don't even know it. So yes, the Muezzins, they're supposed to know the times of the Salat according to the signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And if they like, they can take the assistance with the calendars. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows best. And I think I mentioned before that Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Bani, who was in Arabia, and he started to explain the times of the Salat. And how you can tell when the sun is rising, and just before it rises, and how Fajr comes in, and he's talking about the stars in the sky and stuff, and he's looking at everybody, he said, "You bored, ain't you? This is boring, isn't it?" He said, "All right, I'll leave it." But this is the state of the Muslims, that nobody even knows what time it comes in, and if you bring up the issue, everybody all bored, like, "Come on, Sheikh, let's get to the real stuff. I mean, Muslims dying all over the world and fighting and stuff like this. You talking about stars in the sky and the sun setting and stuff like that." But this is affairs of the Muslims. Unfortunately, maybe they learned it from America. I remember in the past reading an argument, an article, the New York Times, where they said the American diplomats are the most ignorant of the languages of the countries that they represent. So then, he a diplomat from America in France, he don't know French. He in Greece, he don't know Greek. And what have you. And we just pick up the same thing, you know how you just fake it in America. You just go to the interview. Yeah, you know, I got a little, a little experience in this. I've been doing a little of that. Okay, you look like you fit for the job. My cousin is so-and-so, you know, so... And they put you down. And really, we took this, we brought this thing, astaghfirullah, the same attitude to Islam. And this is why we don't know Islam properly. And it's compulsory on all of the Muslims to learn Islam. But at least some of the people have to know. And so much so that many of the ulama in their fiqh book, they mention that any area that doesn't have a faqih or people who know fiqh, and fiqh isn't learning in some school or memorizing some madhab, but fiqh is the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the statements of the Sahab and the Tabi'een and the Tabi' Tabi'een, and how to apply these in your life in the different circumstances. This is the fiqh. When the people say a faqih, they don't mean somebody graduate from Sharia or somebody who knows madhab so and so. This isn't what the ulama mean by a faqih. They mean understanding the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the statements of the ulama and how to apply them to the different circumstances. They say if you don't have one of these people in your area, it's not permissible for you to live in that area. Because it's compulsory on all of humanity to worship Allah. And how are you going to worship Allah if nobody can teach you how to worship Allah? So whatever you need to help you fulfill your obligation of worship of Allah, then it's just as an obligation on you for that as the obligation of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the ulama mentioned in their fiqh books, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is what we wanted to present today. And if there was any good, then it's from Allah. And if there's anything bad, it's from me. Wa astaghfirullah. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.